This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to turn stress into rest.
Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. That's the passage upon which this whole series of messages has been based. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. My brethren, count it all joy. Some of the most surprising words in all of Scripture. Because when we are facing trials, when we are facing stressful circumstances, counting it all joy is about the last thing on our minds. And yet what we found out in this series is that stress is a fact of life. You being a Christian is not going to keep you from having to face stress. Not only is stress unavoidable, but we found out that it is necessary, because God uses stressful circumstances to give us the motivation that we need in order to pay the price of change. Change is not easy. I ought to get an amen on that one. Amen. Change is not easy. And we won't do it unless there is a highly motivated reason for doing it. And God supplies that motivation. God never intends for us to be stressed out. Amen? Amen. Even though we're going to have to deal with stress, God never intends for a Christian to be stressed out. And he says the key to not being stressed out in the midst of stress is learning how to count it all joy. I had a joyful Wednesday this past week. On Wednesday, you may remember, we had our church meeting and Bible study. I had a lot to do that day to be ready for those two things. And so I came over to the church. I was ready to get in and do my work and really get to it. I put my key into the lock, as I have done literally hundreds of times before. I turned that key. It turned quite easily and broke off right in the lock. Ever had that happen to you?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Broke right off right in the lock. And so I'm there and I'm trying to get that key out of the lock. Couldn't get it out. Praise God for cell phones. Amen. Had my cell phone, so I called a locksmith. Will you come over and get the door open, get the key out of the lock for me? How long will it take you? Because I'm sitting out here in front of the church. Well, we don't know how long it'll take. I can't tell you how long it'll take. When somebody comes free, they'll come. Otherwise, I can't tell you. How many of you are impatient already? Amen. And so I'm sitting there, and suddenly the thought occurs to me, well, maybe I have something in the car that would work, that would help me. So I went into my glove compartment and I rummaged around in the glove compartment. Didn't have any pliers or anything like that. Do you know what I found in my glove compartment? I found one of those little nail clips. And I said, well, you know, that looks like it's too small to fit over that key, but I'll give it a try. So I went and guess what? Took that little thing, turned it. It came out, praise God. So I jump on the cell phone. Don't come out. We don't need you. Amen. And then I called up the most important person in the world, hallelujah. Because I knew she had another key, so I called Priscilla at work and I went over and got the key from her. Now understand what's going on though. All of this is taking time. You know, I expected to be in the church at work long before now. So now I have to go out to where she is, get her to come down, get the key from her, get that key. I'm on my way back. And as I'm running, coming down the road on the way back, I say, man, this road has gotten a lot rougher than it was this morning. And I finally stop and pull over, and guess what? Flat tire. Flat tire. And to make things just that much better, praise God, we haven't paid AAA this year. So here's Pastor Franklin on the side of the road, rummaging around in his trunk, pulling out that little donut. You know, I like donuts, but I don't like that donut. Amen. Put out that little donut, get the jack out, get all the stuff out, change the tire, get it back on, and drive over to the church. Praise God. And you know what I was doing the whole time? I was laughing. Hallelujah. Because you know what? I remember all these lessons. I don't know if you get anything out of these messages or not, but guess what? I do. Amen. And so from the moment that key broke off in the lock, you know what I was doing? Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to count this all joy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Locksmith said, we don't know when we're coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I got that nail clip and got that key out of there, I was really going, hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. No more money I have to be spent on this thing. And it's been a long time since I changed the tire. I'm out there sweating, you know. And if you knew the condition of my trunk, you'd know I had to do a lot of work just to get to the spare. Amen. But through all of that, I had a happy attitude. You know, there was a time in my life when I wouldn't have cursed. Now, I have to tell you that. That's something I never did. But I would have been frustrated, angry, and upset. A total waste of time. God, why did you allow this to happen? You ever ask God that? Why did you allow this to happen? God, this is just a total waste. But instead, because of James chapter 1, I was just, oh God, I know you at work. Hallelujah. I don't know what good this is all doing, but praise God. I know you're on the job. Praise the Lord. You know what? I had a great attitude the whole day because of learning how to count it all joy. No stress. I knew it was going to be all right. You folks were coming here for Bible study and the meeting. I had lost 2 or 3 hours of time to work on that stuff. Praise God. It's going to be all right. God's got it under control. Hallelujah. Amen. Catch it. In this series, we're finding out that when we really do count it all joy, it takes the stress out of stressful situations. It changes everything. You're still going to have some keys break off in the lock. You're still going to drive down the road and have a flat tire sometime. But you learn how to count it all joy. We were looking at three words in this series. Count, that's the first one. And we saw that that word is a command. This is not a suggestion. This is what God is telling us we need to do. Count it all joy. And what does that mean? It means to make up your mind how you're going to think about the circumstance that you find yourself in. Because what we found out is that the level of stress you experience in your circumstance is not determined by the circumstance. It's determined by what you think about the circumstance. My mind interprets my circumstances to my feelings. And when I think the right way, I do not have to be stressed out by stressful circumstances. God says we need to make up our minds how we're going to think. We need to count it. Think of it as all joy. The second word was knowing. It says in verse 3 of James chapter 1, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. When we know what God is doing through our circumstance, when we know that God is on the job, we can count it all joy. There's one more thing that we need to know before we talk about the third word, which is let. One more thing we need to know. Look at verse 4 of James chapter 1. But let patience have its perfect work. And you'll remember that that word patience means perseverance under pressure. Perseverance under pressure. The ability to stand in there doing the right thing, doing the godly thing, even when the pressure is on. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Here's the first thing I want you to see today. The work of patience in our lives is perfect. Did you see that? But let patience have its what kind of work? Its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The work of patience in our lives is perfect. God's goal for us is that we would be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, He wants us to look like Christ. He wants us to become Christ-like. He allows us to go through pressure situations in our lives in order to mold us and shape us into the very image of Jesus Christ. And so He says the goal is that you would be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And the tool that He uses is stressful circumstances that we meet with godly patience. Catch it. The work of patience in stressful circumstances in our lives is perfect. What does that mean? God always uses the perfect tool. When I called the locksmith, I called them because I knew they would have a tool for extracting keys that have broken off in locks. Now, I used my nail clip. In other words, I got along. The nail clip worked for me. Amen. Catch it. God never has to get along. God always has the exact right tool for what He needs. I've got here, if I can pull it all out here, a little Phillips head screw. Okay, everybody knows what a Phillips head looks like? You have this kind of little cross in the head of the screw. And have you ever had one of these on your license plate? And you get ready to change your license plate, and it's all rusted, and you're trying to get it off. Anybody ever been through that? All right, amen. And then you look in your toolbox, and all you got's a hammer. Let me see here. No, that doesn't look like that's going to work. What else can I do with it? Well, it is a hammer. Wham! And you're beating on that screw, trying to get that screw loose. Amen. Now, how many of you had that work for you? Now, all you just do is keep pounding on that thing and nothing's really happening, right? Why? This is not the tool for getting the screw loose. Amen? Catch it. God always uses the perfect tool. When He says, let patience have its perfect work, what does that mean? Patience is the perfect tool. And any of you ever feel like you're being pounded? Amen. Amen. Now catch it. If you feel like you are being pounded, like God is using a hammer in your situation, it's because that's the perfect tool for you right then. That's exactly what you need. Amen. I won't even talk about hard heads. Hallelujah. Understand, God always uses the exact perfect tool. Let's take it a step further here. This is a Phillips head screwdriver. Suppose I pull out this screwdriver here, flat blade. Where's my little screw here? Now, I mean, this is better than the hammer, right? Amen. But still, it still doesn't fit. Even though it's a screwdriver, it doesn't quite fit. That's not the one. Let's see what else I have here. Oh, here's one. Okay. Now, this will work. I know this will work. See, this is a flat blade, but it'll fit right in there. Well, not perfect, but it'll at least get the job done, like my nail clip. But you know what God always does? When God gets ready to do a job, He doesn't do approximate. He's always exactly on it. You see what this is? This is a Phillips screwdriver. Fits right in there. Turns that bad boy, gets him right out the way he's supposed to come. That's the way God is. God is never confused about what tool to use. He uses the perfect tool for your situation. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. As I put my toolbox away. Look at what happened in Paul's life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 7. Paul had had a great vision of heaven. And God had to deal with some issues in his life. Look what happened after he had this wonderful vision of being lifted up to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 7. And lest I be exalted, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you see what happened with Paul? People spend a lot of time trying to figure out, what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? Was it sickness? Was it some kind of person that was getting on him? Paul says it was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. But what was exactly the thorn in the flesh? Guess what? It doesn't matter. If God had wanted us to know exactly what it was, guess what? He'd have told us. No, the key is to get the lesson. Paul went to God and said, God, I don't like this situation. It is putting me under stress. And I want you to get me out of this situation. Anybody ever been there? God, please get me out of this. Amen. 3 times Paul went, came before the Lord, asked him, please, Lord, relieve me from this situation. And finally, God answered him. And God said, what? My grace is sufficient for you. What was he saying? Paul, I'm not going to take this situation away from you. I'm going to leave you in the midst of this stressful situation because that is exactly what's needed in your life right now. That was exactly what Paul needed, to go through that situation and deal with it in a godly fashion. Instead of getting all stressed out, oh Lord, why don't you take this away from me? What did he say? I take pleasure in reproaches. I take pleasure in my infirmities. Why? Because I can see that God is at work in my life when he allows me to go through this kind of situation. Understand, that thorn in the flesh was not from God. It was from Satan. But God used that stressful situation to do in Paul's life exactly what it needed to have done in that moment. God always uses the exact right tool. Now understand, usually we don't think we need all that. I mean, when God needs to use a hammer, how many of us think we need a hammer? No, God, I don't need all of that. Lord, look, just the little screwdriver, that's all I need. You don't need to pound. I mean, all I need is just a little adjustment here, Lord. That's all. God says, I know the tool I need. Wham! He always uses exactly the right tool through our circumstances to do what needs to be done in our lives. So the bottom line on that is this. We need to trust that God knows exactly what he's doing when he allows us to go through stressful circumstances in our lives. He knows exactly what he's doing. Now let's get to the last of our 3 verbs. We found we need to count it all joy. There's some things we need to know, and now we need to let. Look at verses 3 and 4 again in James chapter 1. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James says you've got to let, allow, permit patience to do the work that God intends for it to do. It is the perfect tool. The situation he's allowing you to go through is the perfect situation for God to work in your life. But God says, you got to allow patience to have its perfect work. Understand. Look at verse 4 again, or verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But you remember that that word test means to test and approve. In other words, it's a test that God says we are supposed to pass. We're not supposed to fail the test. So what produces patience, that perfect work in our lives, is not just having the test. It's what? Passing the test, praise God. It's when we face that stressful situation and respond to it in a godly way that we pass the test, and that patience can do what it's supposed to do in our lives. We have to let it work. We have to permit it to work. And I have to tell you something. If we just follow our natural feelings when we're in a stressful situation, do what we feel like doing, 9 times out of 10, we will fail the test. If we follow our natural feelings when we are under stress, 9 times out of 10, we will end up not passing the test. Because you know what our feelings tell us to do? How many of us, when we're under stress, in a trial, in a challenging situation, our feelings tell us to count it all joy? How many of you feel like doing that? Amen. What do our feelings tell us to do? Well, at least three things. Three things that we end up doing. Sometimes we end up running. Sometimes we end up raging. And sometimes we end up rebelling. Running, raging, or rebelling. Running, what are we doing? Trying to get out from under the situation. Trying to get away from that thing. As soon as we find ourselves in some kind of trial, some kind of situation of pressure and stress, what do we want? Get out from under it. We feel like running. And the classic situation of running out on a bad situation is when you're a Christian and your home life is not good and you decide, I'm going to go visit the divorce court. Why? I need out of this thing. Amen. Sometimes it happens in church. You come to church and things aren't going the way that you want them to go. And what do you say? Out of here. Running away. Understand, you only get the benefit of patience doing its work in your life when you stay the course. If you run away, you just have to come back and go through that test all over again. One of the legacies that I have of playing football, I got a lot of legacies of my football years, one of which is my knee here. The other one, or one of the other ones, is if you could look behind this tooth right here in front, you'd find out there's a hole in that tooth in the back. Now, it's not a hole, it's been filled in. But when I first started playing football, one of those mean older linemen, you know, here would say, fresh meat. Pop me right in the mouth. And they cracked that tooth. And the blood vessel died. And eventually, I had to have a root canal. Any of you had a root canal? Isn't it fun? Oh, aren't root canals fun? You lie there in the dentist chair. He pumps that thing full of Novocaine. And it feels like your mouth, in fact, your lip feel like it's, you got a basketballs up there. And then he starts messing around in there, and he starts sawing and sticking stuff up in there. And I mean, it is a mess. It is uncomfortable. I did not like it. I did not enjoy it. Suppose what I had done then, he got me in that chair. He started doing all that mess, shoots me in Novocaine in here. And I say, man, this don't feel good. I don't like this. I have changed my mind. I'm getting up out of this chair. And so I get up right in the middle of the procedure and leave. Now, let me ask you something. What have I accomplished? What's going to happen in 2 or 3 days when the Novocaine wears off? I'm going to have to be right back where I was. Because of the discomfort, I tried to run away. But guess what? Running away didn't solve a thing. You can't run away. If you're a Christian, do you know this? God won't let you. God won't let you. Amen. If you get up out of the chair, God will say, okay, I'm just going to let the pain keep going until you're ready to come back and get in that chair again and complete what it is you need to complete. You will only get the benefit if you stay the course. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read for you verses 5 through 11. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 5. Look at how God deals with us in the pressure situations He allows us to go through in life. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. When God allows us to go through stressful, pressure-filled situations, He is in the business of chastening us. Chastening is not necessarily punishment, but it is shaping and molding us to be more like Jesus. And He says, look, when you're going through that, it is not fun. It is not enjoyable. It is not comfortable. Don't expect it to be. But here's the key word, afterward. Afterward, it's going to yield fruit in your life. Amen? When you stay the course through that period of chastening, through that stressful situation, you stay on track with God, doing what He calls you to do instead of what you feel like doing, He says, afterward, you're going to reap the benefit. You're going to reap the fruit. Number one, you got to stay with it. You can't run when the situation gets tough.
Hey, let's go see a movie. No, I'm not talking about visiting the local multiplex. I'm talking about movie night right here at Covenant Community Church. Hi, this is Pastor Ron Franklin. And tonight at 7 p.m., we're going to be watching a great movie about the start of the tribulation period and what it may be like for those who are left behind. The movie is called A Thief in the Night, and I personally highly recommend it, both for Christians and for those who are not yet believers. And of course, it's free. So it's a great opportunity to bring along an unsaved friend. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. Our building is actually on the corner of 18th and Berry Hill. For more information or directions, give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Please join us tonight at 7 p.m. for our great movie. Or if you can't make it tonight, there will be a repeat showing on Sunday at 1 p.m. And guess what? We'll even throw in the popcorn.